Hello and welcome to the EPRI Current. I'm your host for today's episode, Samantha Gilman. And today we'll be talking about EV efficiency. I'm joined by Jeff Blandford, a principal technical executive in our Energy Systems and Climate Analysis Group here at EPRI. And I'm also joined by Luke Tonichel. He is a senior strategist for transportation at the NRDC. Thank you both for joining, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. As earlier this month, EPRI and NRDC published a report on EV efficiency improvements that have the potential to significantly reduce future electric infrastructure build-out, usage, so on and so forth. I'm going to let you guys really get into the weeds because this is what you guys do. But first, before we get too far into it, Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do at EPRI?
Sure, Samantha. Thanks for inviting us to this great conversation. My name is Jeff Blandford. I lead our energy systems modeling in the Energy Systems and Climate Analysis Group at EPRI. I've been doing energy modeling for over 20 years, and it's a really fascinating area to try and understand how technologies and policies and other choices and uncertainties might shape how the energy system evolves over time as we work towards achieving energy transition goals.
Great. And Luke, tell us a little bit about what you do at NRDC.
Sure. And yeah, thanks for the opportunity to be here. My name is Luke Tonichel. I'm a senior strategist for transportation at NRDC. And my work focuses on reducing pollution from the transportation sector. And so it's about advancing policies that will really deal with pollution from transportation, which is the largest source of carbon pollution that's driving climate change, and also a major source of pollution that harms our health by causing smog and soot. A key strategy for reducing pollution from the transportation sector is to accelerate the shift from today's gasoline and diesel vehicles to cleaner vehicles powered by electricity. So I've long worked on policies that encourage innovation in and the deployment of electric vehicles to achieve that end.
Great. Now let's start to get into the report that I mentioned earlier that is published earlier this month. Jeff, can you tell our listeners why this was a topic EPRI wanted to explore?
Sure. Electric vehicles are sort of waiting in the wings to become probably the single largest source of electric load in future years and decades. So it's really important to understand the scale of the impact on the electric system. We know that they represent a sort of step change in efficiency relative to internal combustion engine vehicles, but it's still new load and it's still energy use. And we found that, you know, scenarios looking at the range of possible outcomes in terms of the efficiency of vehicles could result in really different sort of amount of electricity that comes onto the grid as a result of vehicle charging. So that's important as we think about how to build out the system, how much infrastructure is needed, and how that new load fits into a decarbonization strategy.
And so as part of this study, we used EPRI's regen model to do that modeling and calculations. And that's not something we've talked too much about on the podcast yet. So Jeff, can you tell our listeners a bit about what regen is and how we used it for this particular study?
Yeah, so regen is a big energy systems model. It's meant to describe, based on input assumptions about how things might change over the future in terms of technologies, in terms of other drivers for technology decisions in the energy system, how those system outcomes might change over long time horizons, say out to 2050. Could be a lot of, you know, we know there's going to be growth in service demands from transportation and other services. There's also going to be a lot of change in technologies, and there's going to be additional drivers to shift energy sources, particularly in the context of decarbonization goals. So an energy systems model puts all that together, like U.S. regen. A lot of effort is put into understanding how electric technologies interact with each other, particularly as renewables and all of the temporal and spatial detail that's needed to capture those technologies. But also on the end use side, how's that end use mix changing? How big a part of the total electricity load are vehicles going to be in the future if we think about electrification scenarios where adoption of EVs really takes off. And that really depends on how the technology, in terms of its efficiency and how it's used, how that evolves. So putting that all together helps us understand the implications of vehicle efficiency scenarios at the vehicle level, what that means at the system level.
So Luke, turning over to you and your point of view from NRDC, why was this something that your organization wanted to look at?
Right. Well, we know that electric vehicles are cleaner than gasoline and diesel vehicles on the road, even when powered with today's grid. And in fact, we worked with EPRI back in 2015 to really sort of establish the facts on emissions from electric vehicles, in part because EPRI had this system for looking at the grid and really understanding what was going to be the power load and when. But just being cleaner than gasoline and diesel vehicles is not the end game. Essentially, what we need to get to is zero pollution from the transportation sector and therefore from vehicles themselves. And so that means increasingly powering those vehicles over time with zero carbon and zero emission sources like renewable power coming from the wind and solar energy. So knowing that we're going to need more of those clean energy resources in the future, we were interested in looking at, well, if we could reduce the demand from some sources like electric vehicles, then that ultimately will make us more efficient and allow us to be able to deploy those zero carbon sources on the electricity side faster and actually at lower costs. So the benefits of getting electric vehicles extends to the grid as a whole and allows for our whole system to be really more optimized.
So EPRI, as we know, is a independent, nonprofit, non-advocacy organization. So when we do work like this, it's to provide the scientific, research-based information for decision makers to make decisions. However, NRDC is an advocacy organization. So from the point of view of NRDC, Luke, what kind of changes is NRDC pushing for in transportation, most notably in regards to electric transportation?
We are focused ultimately at achieving, at eliminating pollution from the transportation sector and doing that really in an equitable manner. So my colleagues and I, we advocate for policies that are focused on achieving three main goals. One of those goals is to electrify all on-road vehicles and to power them with clean power at the same time as minimizing the new materials, such as critical minerals that go into making those vehicles and allowing them to run. Another goal would be that we need to deploy and energize the charging networks that will power those electric vehicles. And the third goal is really focused on transforming the way that we use investments in our transportation system here in the United States, both from federal investment and state investment, to shift it from expanding roads and highways towards providing more choices and alternatives for people to have mobility in a clean way. So that means better transit, more transit, and also safe routes for biking and walking. So these three goals, they work together synergistically. And the goal here is to really provide everyone everywhere with access to really cleaner and safer and affordable mobility.
So Jeff, turning back over to you, can you tell us, now that we sort of know why we did this study and how we did it, what were some of the key insights coming away from it?
This ended up being a really interesting study because I think it gave us a window into what's possible in terms of the vehicle itself. The electric vehicles today are, as I mentioned, much more efficient than an ICEV, an internal combustion engine vehicle, sort of tank to wheels, just because the internal combustion engine loses a lot of heat and There's other losses within the drivetrain of a internal combustion engine vehicle. Electric vehicle has much more direct use of energy to make the vehicle move forward. So that's great. That's part of what makes them attractive to customers and makes them cleaner vehicles. But there are many opportunities to actually reduce the amount of electricity that they're using relative to today. So we had a team of experts look at a range of scenarios for what you could do to vehicle design to actually improve the efficiency of electric vehicles. And so these strategies that they looked at range from lightweighting vehicle using high strength steel, which reduces the weight of the body, that reduces overall energy use. You can also improve aerodynamic styling, things like just take the rearview mirrors off, replace them with cameras. This is an easy change that all these vehicles have a lot of cameras anyway as technology gets better integrated in the vehicles. And so that can make a big difference to the drag. Tire rolling resistance, internal to the wiring and the battery and the motor efficiency. And then a big one for electric vehicles is heating and cooling loads. Particularly heating on cold days, the battery conditioning and cabin conditioning can end up using a lot of electricity. So improving the efficiency of those processes through heat pumps and other sort of smart strategies, that's a big gain as well. Yeah.
That's an interesting aspect because you think, we talk about energy efficiency of our appliances or a heat pump or a highly efficient refrigerator. But thinking about sort of the heating and cooling of the car in an energy efficient way, it's an interesting topic and an interesting thing to think about because we don't usually think about necessarily how efficient our car is. Sure, we know some cars, traditional ICE cars, some cars use more gas, some use less. But when you think about an electric car, it just takes energy. You don't necessarily think about, it could take more, it could take less. So it's an interesting aspect as we have this industry conversation around electric transportation.
Yeah, one of the key results that we found when you put all these efficiency improvements together is you can reduce the energy use in vehicles by as much as a factor of two, so half as much energy per mile by 2050 if you implement these strategies in a vehicle. And that's true across a range of vehicle segments. And so you put that into a model where these vehicles are being adopted over time, you can see a really major difference in how much new electricity load comes onto the system. Maybe a 60% increase versus a 30% increase in electric load. And that's a large number. So this is, probably the, just the scale of new electricity demand from EVs is such that, focusing on efficiency in this technology in particular, it's true for all technologies, but this one in particular, really makes a huge difference to the size of the system.
Yeah, and I would just pick up on some of the benefits that we found in the study are massive. I mean, we're talking about 1,200 terawatt hours of avoided electricity need for charging vehicles, almost over $200 billion in reduced expenditures in 2050, so annual expenditures on energy. And also with these innovations, we could cut the amount of materials that's going into, like lithium, for example, that's going into batteries. We could potentially cut that in half. So those are really important benefits across the board. And I sort of roll all of these up and think of them as a prize that we should be pursuing. Like there's a huge amount of opportunity here if we really focus on it. And as Jeff pointed out, a lot of the technologies that would go into achieving this are things that we know about. These are feasible technologies that we could just be deploying at a much bigger scale within the car fleet over time. And we can actually add on to those savings. So another thing that we looked at in the study was, sort of going back to my point about, one of the things that we want to do with alongside vehicle electrification is give consumers sort of more choices in avoiding driving altogether. And we looked at a case where we we reduce the amount of future demand there's going to be for vehicle travel, something that, you know, people in this space typically call the vehicle miles traveled, or VMT. And when we looked at that case, basically what we found is, of course, not surprisingly, there was less demand needed overall, and that just added on to the savings that we are seeing. So we roll all these strategies together, and we get even more benefits for everyone.
One of the things that's really interesting that, you know, we didn't get as much into as we might have liked is when you have efficiency improvements in the vehicle for an electric vehicle, it actually gives the vehicle designer some more options. So we assumed that those vehicle efficiency improvements were translated into a smaller battery at the same range. So as the battery gets smaller, that actually has compounding benefits in terms of light, reducing the vehicle's weight. But it also lowers the cost. The battery is still a big component of the EV costs. And you know, those costs are coming down over time, but it's you know, that's one way that EV efficiency can add value to the vehicle design. But there are other ways that could work out as well. I mean, you could imagine using that efficiency to actually provide a much longer range vehicle for customers that you know, have those requirements. So I think from the perspective of the, you know, vehicle design, there's a lot of opportunity to you know, use efficiency improvements as a way to add more customer value. On the electric system side, another thing that's really interesting is how this ties into sort of dynamically flexible charging. So having the vehicle charging actually connected to and working with the grid to sort of time when that charging occurs in a way that's most advantageous to the system. And if you have, you know, more efficient vehicles that need less energy and, you know, basically can charge more quickly, sort of per mile, from the same, you know, level, then you have more flexibility to schedule that charging in a way that you know, aligns with times when the grid is sort of most able to handle it. So those are two areas where I think you know, really interested in exploring further the implications of.
So as we wrap up this topic and this episode, I want to give you each an opportunity to share any last minute thoughts with our listeners. So Luke, do you have anything you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think what this report does is it really helpfully quantifies one big opportunity in front of us in terms of if we seek to put these really known technologies to fore and to improve the efficiency of those vehicles that are coming in greater and greater numbers every year, electric vehicles, then we could, you know, realize this big prize of savings and really optimize the way that we're building out our grid. So I think, you know, that's going to take some time to get these new technologies deployed. So really what we need to do now is to start to bring together all the various stakeholders. So those are people in the electricity industry, other, you know, producers of equipment that use electricity, like the automakers, environmentalists, consumer groups. Let's bring them together and start to look at what are the solutions that are going to incentivize and drive this change so that we can really do it at the pace that's needed, that'll ultimately help us meet our climate and our clean air goals at a way that's most cost effective. So I'm looking forward to that further collaboration going forward.
And Jeff, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of work modeling electrification, and we know that this is just one example, even though it might be the biggest example of new loads that are going to, you know, really change the way way the electricity mix looks. So you know, things like data centers, industrial electrification, space heating electrification, all of these things are probably going to be increasing. Electric vehicles might be bigger than all of them, but I think it's important. So important when you're looking at all these new loads to recognize that, you know, efficiency historically has improved for almost every technology across the board, appliances, in industry, in vehicles. And there's no reason to think that it's not possible to do the same thing here. And so really recognizing the role that efficiency improvements play in modulating those electrification trends, just to help understand what electric system planners need to be prepared for. These loads are going to be big, but they don't, you know, it's still a lot of uncertainty about how big they could be. And so the role of modeling here to really think about, well, how does the evolution of this technology combined with the adoption scenarios we're looking at, what does that really mean for what the system looks like and the sort of scale of the impacts? I think that's, you know, a great opportunity for modeling to, you know, bring these insights together in a way that's really useful for planners and consumers and, you know, the general public here and thinking about what an energy transition strategy really looks like. And EPRI is doing a lot of work, particularly for EVs in a very granular way. This EVs to scale project looking at, you know, at the circuit level, where's this charging load going to be? How do we get enough infrastructure there to support it? And so locating is one thing, but figuring out how big it is just as important. And the efficiency that the vehicle is able to achieve is going to be a really key driver of that.
That's right. And that resource that Jeff was just mentioning is part of our EVs to Scale 2030 project. And if you go to eroadmap.epri.com, you can see that eroadmap and see right where that load is anticipated. Well, thank you, Luke and Jeff, for joining. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. I think it was another great conversation, and I look forward to seeing where this research continues to go. We're signing off for today. Thanks, and we'll catch you next time.
If you like today's show, we invite you to subscribe to our podcast. And feel free to share the podcast with your colleagues and friends. For more information about EPRI, please visit our website at www.epri.com. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter at EPRI News. Together, we are shaping the future of energy.